Maybe you'd like to read with me. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, which is a Jewish way of saying teacher, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. And as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. God's people said, Dear followers of Jesus, you are his disciples. If you are wanting him to be your Lord, and if you are working for him as he did for the Father, then indeed you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. Before us in this passage is a secret that the world does not know about. And that is that Jesus, the Son of God, is the very energy that flows and that powers our new resurrected life. We do not come to church, get religion and change, and just become a good person. No, what actually happens is when we are born again by faith in Jesus Christ, he gives us a new life. We die to our old life and we are resurrected to a new life. And this resurrection power is because of the light of Jesus Christ in us. In this case, his disciples are with him walking along a dusty way when they come upon a poor blind man. And this occurrence is supernaturally staged. It didn't just happen that there was a blind man. It didn't just happen that he was blind. It didn't just happen that they were in this place. And it didn't just happen that the disciples were with Jesus. It was all supernaturally staged, as are all things. All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. You may be questioning your life. You may be questioning, wow, it's so sad that these accidents are happening to me. There are no accidents happening to you. Everything is staged by the Lord. And these disciples saw this blind man and they said, Master, why is this man blind? It was a common false belief that the poor and the weak and the disadvantaged are in the throes of woe because of their sin. And you see this in the Old Testament and you see it in the New Testament. And yes, people even believe that today, even though Jesus has given his instruction about this issue. This was the assumption of Job's friends, you remember, that Job had sinned. His three friends kept telling him over and over and over again, if you would just confess your sin, if you had not sinned, if you had not done this, you wouldn't have all this trouble, Job. All of them were wrong and all of them gave bad counsel because not everyone has trouble because of sin. Job did not suffer calamity because of sin, but his counselors were sure that he did. Well, that's the case here too. Before us in John chapter 9. The same council chambers as Job's friends, but now we have another counselor with a capital C. Jesus explained that not all sickness, not all disabilities, not all poverty is due to sin. In fact, this very blind man has been blind all these years for this one event that you read about in John chapter 9. To give Jesus, the Lord of glory, the light of the world the opportunity to make the point that he makes the blind to see, and then he provides the very life for him to see. Jesus healed the blind man, and then he said, I am the light of the world. Now, how would you put more of an exclamation point on a fact that is most important in all of history? Jesus goes to a blind man, he makes him sighted, he gives him light, and then he declares, do you get it? I am the light of the world. This object lesson is for us too, not just for the disciples of Jesus' day. The whole world, you know, is wandering in blindness. But some will receive sight by his gracious gift. And many of you have, if you've put faith in Christ Jesus. And he will give everyone who will receive that gift light so that they can see the way to go on. The disciples were learning to see, and we too are learning to see. They were adding to their knowledge of the physical, political, and natural world that Jesus' knowledge is a greater reality. There's a greater reality than what you see. There's a greater reality than what you see on the news. There's a greater reality than what you hear about on the news. There's a greater reality than what you experience in your life at work. The spiritual world. He turned his light on so that the disciples could see. Jesus used the occasion for teaching us, his followers. They posed the question, and Jesus explained spiritual living to his disciples by talking to them about things they already knew in their life experiences. For example, Jesus said at another occasion that his food was what? What was Jesus' food? You remember the disciples came and they had bread and fish and they said, here, eat, you haven't eaten all day, you need to eat. And what did Jesus say? No. I have food that you know nothing about. And what was that food? Tell me. To do the will of the Father is what Jesus said. They were confused at first. They were trying to get him to eat fish and bread. But Jesus wanted to talk to them about a more important reality. And just as fish and bread are necessary for the physical body, doing the will of God is necessary for our spiritual person. This is a mystery that Jesus was revealing. And what Jesus was unveiling to his disciples on that very day, he is revealing to you in this room today. He told us that spiritually, we are like green plants with leaves. You know, leaves are food factories. Leaves are the reason that plants have food. Plant leaves, however, do not produce light. But they produce food with the light they are given. And likewise, we do not produce truth and life. No one here can produce life. You can reproduce life. You can retell the truth, but you cannot create truth, and I cannot create life as an original happening. But we produce spiritual food for our souls by using his energy, that light, combining his word and our spiritual death and resurrection. Now, I don't know if you can read the chart or not, but it's important because this is what Jesus is actually teaching. Glucose, plant food, is made when plants combine water and carbon dioxide and they bombard that with light. Now, I don't understand the mechanism of that. I read a technical paper this week trying to understand this. And I got about 3/4 through it. And I thought, I have no idea what that says. But you know what? I do know because I grow tomato plants like Lloyd does. Now, I only have half a dozen. But the fact is that I do know that If plants are well watered constantly, and if they have access to carbon dioxide in the air, and if they get plenty of light and they're not in the shade, they will produce fruit. Now, the same thing is true spiritually, and this is really the idea. Producing spiritual food, Jesus said, the way you produce spiritual food is do the will of the Father. That is the fruit. And how is it done? Well, if you are going to grow as a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ, what is necessary is that you must have a constant watering of the Word. Now, there are a lot of people who are religious and they go to church a lot and they have a religious life and they assume that they are a disciple and that they are growing. But let me tell you, my friend, if you are not constantly being watered by the Word, you are self-deceived if you think you're growing. It's the water of the Word plus the carbon dioxide of the death of my will, what I want. Because when I die, then Jesus can live in me. And the resurrection happens. And so what God does is He takes the constant watering of the Word and the death of my self-ambition and my will, and combined with the working of the Holy Spirit in me, who resides in me, He changes me, and I produce fruit. It is not I who is doing that. It is He, for I died, and He is the one who is doing it. Now, this is the teaching of the Scripture, and this is the mystery. Listen to John chapter 17, verses 16 and 17, what Jesus says. He's praying for disciples. He's praying for you, and He's praying for me. And Jesus says, they are not of the world. You've been drawn out of the world. You've been given eternal life. You've been given the new life in Christ. So He says, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. And then He says, sanctify. The word sanctify means to set apart or to change. Change them to be Christ-like. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. A necessary component of your growth for you to be able to have the power and the discernment to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, one who learns from Him and follows Him, is that you must be watered consistently with the Word of God. Any of us who grow plants know that you have to keep the soil moist. If you don't do that, the plant suffers and it loses its ability to continue to be healthy. Not only do we need the water of the Word, but we need our own personal death. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Offer your body. Die. Jesus said, if you don't take a seed and put it in the ground so that it die, it will never spring to life. Paul is agreeing with that when you see what he's writing here. Offer your body a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. This is how you worship. It takes the Word of God constantly, consistently, along with our personal death to our own ambitions. But it also takes something else. Luke chapter 22, 42 says this, nevertheless, not my will, Jesus says, when He prays to the Father. You remember Jesus said, please let this cup pass from me. In other words, He's getting ready to be crucified on the cross. And He said, Father, please let this not happen to me. Now that's very insightful because Jesus had His own will. That was not the Father's will. Did you catch that? Jesus had his own will. Let this cup pass from me. I don't want to go through this. He knew exactly what he's about to go through. And he said, Father, if there's any way, let this cup pass from me. But he said, what? Nevertheless. Nevertheless what? Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. This is what death to self is. It's death to self-ambition, death to self-advancement, death to my own plans and what I would want, but it is to be resurrected to His will, His life. And it takes supernatural power to do that. It takes the Word of God, constant watering. It takes death to self and resurrection inside me. But we also come to John chapter 4, verse 34, where Jesus says, My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. That's our food too. If you want to grow as a disciple, get busy doing what Jesus did. That's what Jesus wants. And when you do that, you produce food. In a plant, you produce glucose by combining water and carbon dioxide. And you make glucose. But in the spiritual life, if you want to grow in Christ, you must be in the Word of God consistently. And you must die to your own will. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. We talked about this last week, but it says, we all, with unveiled face, we take our mask off, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and we are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Where does the energy come from? The Spirit of the Lord. The Word of God, death to self, and the working of the Holy Spirit in you will produce a new person that you never were before. Now the mystery is this, my friends. The disciple takes in the water by the Word consistently, combines it with carbon dioxide by this dying that I've been talking about, and then we get changed. The energy of Jesus' sunlight on us does the work. Just as the miracle of a green plant produces food by mechanisms that we don't know, we don't understand. There may be someone in the world who studies these things deeply. Maybe they understand better. But it's a miracle that you can put water and carbon dioxide together in a special way, in a special place, called a plant that God created, and boom, it produces glucose. Just as surely, the result of this continual process in me, doing the will of God supernaturally produces food. And what's the food? Jesus defined the food, doing the will of the Father and doing His work. This is spiritual life. When you got saved, it was not a process. There was a point in time, an event, whereby you trusted Christ for the gift of eternal life. You believed that He was the Messiah, you believed He was the Christ, and you simply accepted the gift, and that happened at a point in time. But discipleship is not like that at all. It is a process. It is a process whereby we become peculiar people, weirdos in the world's eyes. And that's what a disciple of Jesus is. Now remember, there are several mysteries to this. Let's go back and review very briefly. Mystery number one is, I must die and let the resurrected Christ live out my life. I must die. Many of you are struggling with your life, and you're right there, and you're screaming and clawing, trying not to die. You're trying to keep your old life. And God is consistently dragging you into His life as long as you allow Him. He continues to tug and woo. He will not abrogate your will. If you resist and you don't want to be a disciple, he'll say, fine. He explained that to us through the parable of the lost son. If you want to take what you have and leave, you can do that. But the Holy Spirit is relentless, wooing. Mystery number two is, I must have a constant watering of the Word in order to live His life in me. Mystery number three was, I must see my view of me become the image of Him. And I explained earlier that when you see your children, you often see your own face in your children. And your children see their face in you. And Jesus said, if you have seen me, you've seen my Father. You saw His face in me. This is true in the Christian life. More and more, you see Jesus in yourself. Mystery number four that we're taking up today is, I must produce the food of His will by His light, His sunlight, S-O-N, His sunlight in me. My friends, what I'm telling you today is a mystery. It is a secret. It is not easily done nor easily understood. It's one thing to explain it. It's another thing to practice it. These things are spiritually discerned, and many are dull of hearing who cannot receive what God teaches about this. They're not ready. They don't want to be a disciple. They want to have their own independent life and live in the world like the world. If you do that, you will still go to heaven, but woe to you when you find out that you have no reward when you get there. These things are spiritually discerned. You know, to the world, what I'm telling you now, all this is bunk. To the disciple, it is vital instruction. It is not my instruction, it is the Lord's instruction. What happens to a plant if it's deprived of carbon dioxide? What happens to that plant? Yeah, it withers, just like you wither if you do not experience personal death and let Jesus have His way in your life. The same thing happens to believers who are not willing to die and let Jesus' life be resurrected in them. And I also ask, what happens to a plant deprived of water? Many of you know you're good at killing them. What happens when you don't water your plants consistently? You know that it wilts and it ceases to grow and thrive. Well, the same, very same thing happens to believers who do not have the constant watering of the Word. Now, it's amazing. We live in a day when you can read the Bible in so many different ways. You can listen to the Bible. You can watch videos of the Bible. If you don't like to read, you can do any of those things. But let me tell you, my friends, if you're not in the Word, you're not growing. You might be a nice person. You might be very religious, but you're not growing. What happens to a plant whose leaves are not oriented toward the sun? The food, that is the glucose, is lesser and lesser. You know, a plant puts its leaves out there and it orients it to the sun. And even plants can move and grow toward light. It's quite interesting. There are special cells in plants. I read about it this week. Again, I don't understand it. But plants do have the ability to elongate their cells. So a part of a plant that is furthest away from the source of light, it elongates its cells so it bends toward the light. Amazing, isn't it? The food, that is the glucose output, gets lesser and lesser if that source of light disappears. And so too, those among us not consistently oriented to the light of Jesus fail to do the will of God, fail to even care about the work of God, and are actually oblivious to what God is doing in the world, even though He's given us His agenda and has been very clear about what He's doing. When our leaves are correctly oriented toward the sun, then we can pray effectively. And prayer is indispensable in the solar miracle of doing the Father's will. There was a homeless addict and a petty criminal who was often in trouble with the police in Santa Cruz, Bolivia. This is a true story. His name was Tomas Martinez. And he had not seen his wife for 15 years. He had problems, addiction problems, and he had criminal problems. And he just abandoned his wife and he abandoned his family. And for 15 years, she had not even seen this guy. The police have been searching for him and even found him. But when they found him, you know what he did? He was very good at getting away from them and he ran away. And he had done that many times before. He assumed that he was in trouble, but the truth was his wife had died that year and he didn't even know it. They were trying to catch him so that they could give him the news. They came to give him good news, actually. Not trouble. In fact, his wife had been surprised that she had inherited $6 million just 2 years before. But she had never seen him. The police were trying to find him so that they could deliver to him the news that the $6 million was his. And at the time of print, that story about Thomas, well, it just goes on because they never could find him. Now, why did I tell you that story? There are many Christians who are just exactly like that. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. I go to make treasures for you that you can't even imagine. But people are running away from God. And so when they get there, are they going to rule and reign with Christ? No, they've been busy running away from God. Now, you could interpret what I say is that, well, the motivation for going to heaven and working for God is so that you could get more. That's not what I'm saying. The whole motivation for the Christian who is a disciple is so that they can give Jesus all that stuff and say, I love you, Lord. Thank you for paying me, but here's all the stuff that you gave me. It's yours. Because what it's really about is fellowship with Him. The payoff is fellowship with Him. When people run for president of the United States, they tend to attract friends who have the same agenda that they have. And guess who ends up working in the White House? The people who adopted the same agenda and who work hard. And guess who is going to rule and reign with Christ in His administration? It is those who take up the cross and follow Him. This is how many believers are with Jesus. Like Thomas, he had a great inheritance, and Jesus has a great inheritance for you. I don't know if you're running away from His Lordship, but this would be a great day for you to turn yourself in. And you know what He will do? He will trade your sad, helpless, hopeless existence into a life of wealth and purpose and love. And He will show you and share with you His agenda that's worth living for. Believing friends, I beseech you today, follow Him. Effective disciples live with open hearts, converting light to the glucose of His life in us. And so I plead with you today, open your heart to God and live out His life in you. This is what discipleship is. We're going to sing a song as we close. It's called Living for Jesus. And the words go like this. We'll get it on the screen. Maybe we should read it together first and then we'll sing it. Read with me, please. Living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please Him in all that I do. Yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free, This is the pathway of blessing for me. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to you, for you in your atonement did give yourself for me. I own no other master. My heart shall be your throne. My life I give, henceforth to live, O Christ, for you alone. That's a prayer. That's a prayer. Let's stand and pray in song. Did you just say those words or did you mean those words? This is your opportunity to start a serious discipleship relationship with the Lord. It's just between you and Him. What do you want to do? God bless you. You're dismissed.